Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We had a technical glitch getting started. I have a wonderful guest for us today who will join us at the bottom of the hour. Bear in mind, there have been major developments out there, especially revolving around Ukraine. Seymour Hersh, based on inside sources, is declaring it's all lies. The war is over. Russia has won. He's got it exactly right. As the anniversary of the purported Biden regime sabotage of Nord Stream pipeline approaches on September 26, Seymour Hersh claimed a secret disinformation operation by CIA and MI6 for misleading the public about the disastrous state of the U.S.-led war effort in Ukraine. As Vladimir Zelensky is making the rounds at the UN and in Washington, Hersh's source wrote, informed him, the war continues. The war continues. Apologies for that disruption. Yeah, I got a call from a member at Revolution Radio thinking we were still off the air, and I'm glad to say we've overcome the problem. The situation is catastrophic. Ukraine is simply losing massive numbers of troops by going to the front. They're even recruiting pregnant women, if you can believe, to go to the front lines. Meanwhile, and I think it's out of desperation, Zelensky has launched an attack on Sevastopol with a couple of cruise missiles. There's fury in Washington. Russian sources are talking about two scout missiles rather than storm shadows having made it through. We have a lieutenant general, commander of the Ukrainian armed forces, explain that we install the storm shadow on the left wing and the scalp on the right. Both were great, no chance for the conqueror. It seemed to have done considerable damage. to the headquarters, there was one report that the commander of the Russian Black Sea Fleet had been taken out, but I do not have that confirmed. Meanwhile, here's a tweet about it. An evacuation was announced at the Black Sea Fleet headquarters at the time of the missile strike. The main personnel and civil servants were withdrawn. A conscript from the Guard died. Here's another. Moscow-appointed authorities in occupied Crimea say Ukrainian missiles struck the headquarters of Russia Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol, making the latest in a series of ever-increasing attacks targeting the Russian military on the peninsula with heavy smoke. Well, further compounding the complications here, an American Poseidon missile, which is the kind of electronic command and control that could have directed the missiles into the headquarters in Sevastopol, was circling above the easternmost point of Romania at the time of the missile strike, strongly suggesting the U.S. had directed the attack. This is not going to go down well. Meanwhile, Russia's leading diplomat, the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, has blasted the United States for waging a proxy war in Ukraine, which, of course, the whole world recognizes to be the case. The Washington-led North Atlantic Alliance has transferred nearly $100 billion in military aid to Kiev. Lavrov said the White House was controlling Ukraine's military decisions. Sunday, at the Eastern Economic Forum, the Russian diplomat explained Moscow's position. No matter what it says, if the U.S. controls this war, it supplies weapons, munition, intelligence, information, data from satellites, it is pursuing a war against us. According to the Kiel Institute, the U.S. and its allies have transferred just under $100 billion in weapons since the beginning of the war, also trained thousands of Ukraine soldiers in Kiev with other military support, such as targeting and intelligence. But in a stunning new development, the Russians have taken out what turned out to be a German army tank crew operating a tank in Ukraine. Thus, we get a report, and this is from Hal Turner. It appears World War III has officially begun. Saturday morning, the Russian army engaged a German-supplied Leopard tank operating for the Ukrainian army in Zaporizhia. The Russians hit the tank with an anti-tank guided missile and it blew up. The tank crew evacuated and were captured. They were identified. They identified themselves as active duty German army troops. Thus, the actual army of Germany has been caught waging actual war against Russia inside a official Russian territory of Zaporizhia. We have the image of the actual tank and the actual incident morning of 23 September. It thus appears, as Hal Turner remarks, on its face, NATO has just started World War III using the active duty German army to attack Russia. Understand, this is unprecedented. Germany is a centerpiece of NATO. So you now have a NATO nation engaging directly with Russia in Ukraine. This is outrageous. World wars have become over far less than this. I am simply appalled that this would take place. A member of the actual Russian recon team, directly and personally involved in the incident, has stated the following. When we curbed another offensive and ATGM destroyed it with an anti-tank guided missile, the Leopard, we moved out to the burning vehicle hoping to seize the tank. Then we saw that the crew's driver mechanic was severely injured. The others were dead. Once he awoke, the mechanic started yelling, "Nichtschiffen! Do not shoot in German!" The mechanic repeatedly stated he was not a mercenary, but a Bundeswehr serviceman, adding that he and the rest of the crew were members of the same unit of the German army. While receiving medical aid, he named his brigade and its dislocation site. The driver died from wounds minutes after he was found despite efforts to save him. This is completely outrageous. And Russia is going to have to respond. I see no possible way Russia cannot respond to these stunning developments, which, of course, in my opinion, implicate the United States by way of the Poseidon with the attack on the Sevastopol headquarters of the Russian Black Sea Fleet, and in addition, having German regular army forces maintaining a Leopard tank in Ukraine fighting against the German, absolutely stunning. So if you want to know why those mushroom clouds are now appearing on the horizon, if you want to know why your city, if you live in a biggie like New York or Washington or Chicago, may be incinerated instantaneously, you'll at least know the reason why. NATO initiated a war with Russia. Pentagon, meanwhile, in the face of a possible government shutdown, has exempted Ukrainian operations. The Pentagon will exempt its Ukrainian operation from a potential shutdown if lawmakers can't agree on how to fund the government by the end of the month. Washington is more resigned to the looming shutdown every day. As the September 30th deadline approaches, congressional leaders showed little progress this week in moving a stopgap hunting bill to avert that scenario. A group of GOP hardliners tanked the vote that could have offered a patch to fund the government. But if they fail to reach an agreement and government appropriations lapse, DOD has decided to continue activities supporting Ukraine. But of course, what could be more important to the American people than a war in Ukraine, which most Americans in the past couldn't even find on a map? Joe Biden cares more about the borders of Ukraine than he does about the borders of the United States. Indeed, it's rather stunning, but it turns out there's a Joe Biden back like in 2015 was making the following declaration. Listen to this, and wokeness printed this, Biden in 2015. An unrelenting string of immigration will make white people a minority in the United States. Quoting Biden, that's a source of our strength. Sitting beside him is a man currently in charge of the board, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. In my opinion, this is such a grotesque act of treason that Biden deserved to be impeached on that ground alone. He's violating the Constitution. He's not upholding his duties and obligations. And if indeed the United States is drawn into a conventional war with Russia, you're going to be staggered by the numbers of casualties that are going to take place. The U.S. Army War College has made a calculation. A war with Russia, a conventional war, would lead to the death of 50,000 Americans every 2 weeks. Mind you, every 2 weeks. And the reason that is so stunning is that in the entire war with Vietnam, which spanned, was next to Afghanistan, our longest war, 15 years or so, we lost 50,000 Americans, the Vietnamese over 2 million, 50,000 Americans over that very long war in Vietnam, and yet we would lose that many in just 2 weeks if we wind up in a conventional war with Russia. Completely stunning. In the autumn issue of the U.S. Army War College publication Parameters, a quarterly that is published and refereed, furthering the professional development of senior military officers on national security, a call to action in a possible war with Russia, they'll kill about 50,000 Americans every 2 weeks. And, they were given the staggering numbers. It's just overwhelming what would happen here. Now, remember, it was Richard Nixon who abolished the draft in 1968 because he wanted to take the the win that Nixon abolished the draft, it was later than 68. In order to take the wind out of the sail of the anti-war movement, which it succeeded in doing, I'll get the exact date. He abolished it as of January 27, 1973. I think he thought it would be a good idea, but in my opinion, it was very bad for the following reason. By abolishing the draft and going to an all-volunteer force, most American families concluded that they had no interest, no stake in decisions of war and peace, and thus they lost interest in the most important issues facing the nation. By reestablishing the draft, and I don't mean now for the sake of a war in Ukraine, which would meet massive, massive resistance on totally appropriate grounds. By abolishing the draft, we have generations of kids who've never had any responsibility, never had any military training, never acquired the ability to perform a task that might qualify for trades that the military and communication, transportation, logistics, and a host of other issues, all of which are indispensable to a functioning military. They're without training. They're incapable of assuming responsibility of a kind that might be required were the nation to be invaded by a foreign force, which is taking place now. Were the nation to be invaded, you know, that used to be hypothetical reasoning. But given what's going on in the border, there's just no room for doubt about it. Meanwhile, we have a Stephen Gardner with explosive new revelations about money laundering, drawing upon sources from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, Zero Hedge, Breitbart, and more. He uncovers shocking details, the dark underworld of money laundering with American taxpayer dollars in Ukraine. Here he explains how Ukraine's president, and this was published a few days back, the enigmatic Voldemort Zelensky, as he calls him, held clandestine meeting with financial giants like BlackRock, Blackstone, JP Morgan. Meanwhile, Republicans threatened to withhold funding unless there's accountability. This is why the Pentagon had to take those special measures. Discover corruption within Ukraine where military officials, cabinet members, advisors are amassing wealth while the nation struggles. The plot thickens as the United States plan to funnel $25 billion of taxpayer money to the Clinton Global Initiative that's supposed to help Ukraine's people, despite Clinton Foundation passed money laundering allegations. This money is going to be given to the World Bank, which is going to turn around and give it to the Clinton Foundation. Just think of the good hands of Bill and Hillary Clinton and what they can do with $25 billion of your dollars. Here's a discussion about it. Stephen Gardner.
I have a major update coming out of Washington, D.C. and the state of New York. Have you been suspicious like me that there was money laundering going on with American taxpayer dollars and the country of Ukraine? Well, hold that thought because I'm going to walk you through a few major updates that have just come out. Did you know that last night, Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine held secret meetings with BlackRock, Blackstone, JP Morgan Bank, and a few other major financial players? Did you also know that he is in great danger of not getting funding from America because Republicans in Congress are saying, I'm not giving any more votes towards money going to Ukraine if there isn't accountability? On top of that, I've had guest after guest after guest say how corrupt the country of Ukraine is and how Zelensky is really just a placeholder puppet. Well, now look how many people Zelensky has had to fire because of corruption. People in the military, people in his cabinet, his advisors, they were all taking in tons and tons of money, showing up to meetings in brand new BMWs, going off to their second and third home. Meanwhile, we're being told that we're not sacrificing enough for Ukraine's democracy, even though they're not planning to hold a democratic election this year because of the war. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because yesterday it was announced that the United States will give $25 billion of U.S. taxpayer money to the World Bank. The World Bank then will give that money to the Clinton Global Initiative so that it can be fairly distributed through Bill and Hillary Clinton's foundation to the people of Ukraine. Now, they have not worked at the Clinton Global Initiative for 6 years. The Clinton Foundation has been under investigation for years. Why? Because it was proven that they were laundering money through their efforts on the island of Haiti. So now they've been hand-selected to fairly and equitably distribute taxpayer money to the people of Ukraine. Now, this is a developing story. Zelensky will be speaking to Congress today, holding more secret meetings in the days to come, and about $25 billion of your money and my money is about to flow through the hands of Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Just absolutely ghastly, very idea that Bill and Hill would be given $25 billion. When the Clinton Foundation is notorious for money laundering and also as a cover with her initiative for children of child sex trafficking, Hillary and Huma, by the way, were captured on at least audio, maybe video, in the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. Oh, actually, it was the Anthony Weiner laptop, attacking a 14-year-old girl and killing her. I mean, it's outrageous what has happened here with no enforcement. We're tough-hardened military, you know, experienced NYPD cops were reduced to tears by over what they discovered there. I just wanted to verify that the beleaguered House Speaker not only declined Zelensky's request to address a joint session, but barred him from the chamber's private meeting room. When we return, I have a very special guest today.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I think we have reached a point where between the border crisis, we got millions of illegals pouring over the border. They're beginning the red carpet treatment. They're being given, the latest report, $2,200 a month. They're being given food. They're being given housing. They're being given green cards, whatever the hell. Biden is just bringing them in by the millions. He wants to make this a white minority country. Sabotaging law enforcement for shoplifting is having devastating effects. There are cities in California where they're doing mass looting of high-end stores. These left-wing prosecutors, DAs, sponsored by George Soros, are not prosecuting shoplifting up to $950. Well, if you multiply by a whole bunch of gangsters, you know, they can make up with hundreds of thousands in loot by doing this repeatedly. It's happening. It breeds disrespect for the law. Crime is rising in all the Democrat cities. We also have, of course, the notorious corruption of elementary schools where little kids are being subjected to drag shows and instruction about sex, including anal sex, oral sex, for totally inappropriate for the age group. And it's being fostered by school boards that are into a critical race theory agenda. Our military is being corrupted by allowing trannies into the military. The young men, mostly from southern states, who are very patriotic, are not keen on having showers with trannies or being forced to take a vax or being subjected to classes in critical race theory. You know, what's going on is a pretty good destruction of the United States en masse, an essential element thereof, by the way, which may have passed by if you didn't get the memo, has been taking down statues, especially commemorating Confederate soldiers such as Robert E. Lee and others, Stonewall Jackson, who were terribly important in the Southern effort, where as a form of reconciliation between the states, these statues were put up to show respect on both sides, that the North had respect for the South had respect for the North. All this began in New Orleans. I have a dear friend, Gary King, with whom I do a new JFK show reporting the latest developments in that arena, who explained to me how they had a new mayor who was just taking down statues right and left. It was massively destructive in New Orleans because New Orleans is just a treasure of all kinds of artistry and monuments and statuary. It made it a fascinating place. Well, it's very pedestrian by comparison now because so many statues have been taken down. They've been put off in remote locations. Some have been relocated, but it's also been happening in other parts of the country. I published a series of articles authored by Patricia Saffron on the removal of statues that were a very big deal in Richmond, Virginia, for example, in Charlottesville, Virginia, for example. You may remember the whole Charlottesville fiasco, which was orchestrated by Terry McAfee, the then governor, with the collusion of the mayor of Charlottesville, who had the Charlottesville police stand down so the state police could channel the peaceful permitted protesters into a violent confrontation with Antifa and BLM members who'd been bussed in by George Soros, often even on the same bus. And then we had the artfully contrived you know, crash and all that, the alleged death, where there were two cars, two drivers, two, even three different takes. I've exposed all this many times, many places. If you want to get a short take, check it out. How to Spot a False Flag Part 1, How to Spot a False Flag Part 2. If you go to my blog and check out Jim the Conspiracy Guy, the 65 shows, you can find them. If you go to my Twitter at Jim Fetzer, you can find them linked there too. Don't let yourself be played. Well, the latest development, and this is virtually an implementation of the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, is at Arlington, Virginia, our nation's national cemetery, to respect the lost veterans of the past, those who have died defending their country. They want to do the same to Arlington. I'm very pleased today to have a representative of the organization defending Arlington with me today, Ann McLean, where these are civilians who are trying to stop the government and other forces from, you know, this is a form of desecration, in my opinion. Ann, welcome to the Raw Deal.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be on with you, and it is a serious situation, and you've just given a great catalog of just how serious it is.
You go right ahead. Tell me how you got involved and what's going on.
Well, I wrote my doctoral dissertation on Monument Avenue, defended it at UVA in 1998. So I really got to know each one of these statues and the efforts to heal the nation after this, you know, terrible bloody war from 1861 to 1865, and several six different media around Richmond and Petersburg as part of the Lost Cause, which has then, now there are revisionist historians who have made a career out of lying, actually, about the Lost Cause. There were, you know, the idea of the boundaries of our nation was decided at the point of a bayonet, and there were many complicating factors, but the Southern effort, there's so many people that fought just because they thought their country was Virginia or their country was South Carolina, or and that, you know, of course we know what happened, but when Lincoln called up 75,000 troops to fight against secession, which was an understood right for many people and is still occasionally talked about, a state seceding from our nation, that was always the way that the founders had baked it in, that a state could secede if it was abused by another section of the country. And so it really was about money and property. Of course, slavery was a bit of a part of it, but there were many free black people, and that's never acknowledged. And what we have now is a terrible injustice of the truth, suppression of the full truth. And Arlington is now the latest target, this beautiful reconciliation monument, which was a healing peace monument established by President William McKinley and initially four other presidents, Taft, Roosevelt, Wilson gave the dedication speech. This was after the Spanish-American War, and Americans, Confederates got back in uniform, fought for the United States, and former Confederates like Fighting Joe Wheeler or even Fitzhugh Lee, and we became a nation united after the Spanish-American War in the 1890s, and this monument really stood for that. And now we have a new war within our own Department of Defense, and it's terrible. So if they are trying to take away primary source documents that represent that there were free blacks and black Confederates and people that fought soldiers, you know, shoulder to shoulder for their farms, for their homesteads, for a different reason, for the boundaries of their actual state and the state seals. There are 14 state seals around the top of this. And Moses Ezekiel is the foremost Jewish sculptor. He was over in Europe. He was from America, from Richmond, Virginia, where I am right now and live, and my family, my husband and our daughters. And he is buried underneath this as it was his magnum opus. And revisionist historians such as Edward Ayers are lying about this, and they have been up to Congress, and they have talked a lot of Congress people in to the false idea that, and I think this was even bartered during the George Floyd riot, to take this down if the violence would stop. Now, if that's happening, Jim, and we have people that will barter with a war memorial that is representing the ultimate sacrifice by soldiers, we are really in a terrible situation. So this is something you can do today. All of our listeners can call Congress at 202-224-3121, and you can go to www.defendarlington.org, and you can ask your congresspeople to stop this. This should not be touched. This monument sits apart. It's not even on the trolley tour. It's got 500 graves around it, not to mention the sculptor himself lies underneath it. And ask your congresspeople to defend, to vote yes for Amendment 174 to the Defense Authorization Bill. Our money, our taxpayer money, should not be used, as you've just talked about, so many terrible billions going for the wrong thing. Our taxpayer money should not go to taking down a war memorial. So thank you for the chance to be on with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you're welcome to stay. I mean, I want you to be here for the rest of the show. And
good.
I want you
okay.
to be, yeah, I want you to be very patient about all this. What we're talking about is cultural Marxism. And this is something most Americans do not understand, do not appreciate. I want you to lay it on. Just yes. tell us what's going on, the well, big picture. And that's what everyone needs to understand.
Everyone needs to read The Naked Communist. It's a book that was published in 1962 by Cleon Skousen, who is a very fine historian, and this was his first book. He's just written, you know, he's been writing for as long as I've been alive, and he's written The 5,000 Year Leap, but he details Marx and Engels and everything we see on our headlines. It's incredible. Things, words like armed insurrection, or we will pound you with our clenched fist, and we've seen so many clenched fists around. All of this comes straight from the Lenin School, from Stalin, the Stalin, you know, Tito, all of those ideas have come across the Atlantic Ocean through our schools, through our Ivy League, and now all our universities. Marxism is really the flip side of Christianity. Karl Marx was a terrible, in my opinion, just a terrible man. His two daughters committed suicide. He spent all his time thinking of philosophy that would really undo Western civilization and human flourishing. And so this takes away the human spirit. It is a big lie, and it has captured the imagination of many people. And now it's being pumped out to our students. And you need to understand, I also recommend Paul Kengor's book, The Devil and Karl Marx. And Paul Kengor is a Christian author at Grove City. He's a fine historian, very well documented how the Catholic Church has been infiltrated. Our media, it's really serious. And if we love America, and we do, this is the city on the hill. We need to protect the vision for America and the vision of our founders.
And you did a graduate degree at UVA. Is that what you observed?
2 degrees, yes, a master's. And a PhD in art and architectural history. I'm really an Americanist. I was an English major at Davidson College. So I love the canon of American letters, which has been destroyed in our schools by the American Library Association. Poetry doesn't seem to be taught, and they have really fine ideas. Ideas drive action. And everything after I graduated in 1985, it seemed like the humanities departments in many liberal arts schools became dark. The things they were focusing on were, I don't know, Sylvia Plath and a lot of, you know, just very dark ideas. Now, it's okay to have some of that and, you know, really understand the breadth of life. Of course, not every day is a great day, but the ideas that our founders have had in their hearts, which so much came from the Bible. I really have become much more interested in
I wanted to ask for a couple of reasons, some personal, because I taught at UVA twice in the Department of Philosophy. They hired me after Kentucky denied me tenure. I was hired as visiting associate by the Department of Philosophy, where Virginia at the time was the number one public university in the United States. They in effect, were giving me the promotion I'd been denied on mixed grounds. I mean, it was very strange. One of the faculty who voted against me explained later that he did so because I was living with my girlfriend without the benefit of marriage. It had nothing to do with my success in the classroom. I'd actually received the first Distinguished Teaching Award presented by the UK student government to one out of 135 assistant professors to show this is the type of person they thought should receive tenure, and they did the opposite. Then I was brought back around the time you were leaving. I was brought back for a semester as a visiting full professor. And I think that was actually in 85, the fall of 85. And I was instrumental in, you know, going through the candidates they had for to join in my field, the philosophy of science, where they hired a fellow named Paul Humphreys, who'd done his work at Stanford, and where Paul and I would become fast friends for two decades. I mean, this guy was my closest personal friend for two decades. And ironically, we had a falling out over my conspiracy research. I'd done all this research on JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, I pioneered collaborative research by bringing together groups of experts. So I learned belatedly that he died 2 years ago when we had these unresolved issues, and I was extremely distraught that I hadn't been notified so we'd have a chance to at least, you know, discuss the differences between us. But UVA has played a very odd role. When the Charlottesville incident took place, or shortly thereafter, I reached out to all 80 members of the Department of History, members of the City Council, explaining how this had been a fraud, that they'd manufactured these events. And it fell on deaf ears. There was one chaired member of the department who said she didn't want to ever hear from me and that it was a disgrace that I'd ever taught at UVA. So, Ann, I'm just telling you, it's very strange, and I'll tell you something else. A prominent member of the Department of History is named Philip Zelikow. He became the executive director of the 9/11 Commission. Philip Zelikow had his area of academic specialization before he became the executive director, the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. And that's what they gave us on 9/11. They gave us a myth. And I'm convinced Philip Zelikow actually wrote the script, Anne.
That is fascinating, Jim, because I have spent the past 2 years really looking under the hood at UVA as a part of the Jefferson Council, which is an alumni free speech group. And I love the UVA of old. My father lived on the lawn. Yeah. He was a medical professor there. And Obama's administrators are soaking it, you know, all over UVA. And it is Marxist. I mean, they have put Melody Barnes, who was Obama's domestic policy chief, and she's the one that said we have to fundamentally transform the United States of America. She's a faculty member. They have a democracy institute there that was given $100 million by a Silicon Valley couple, the Karshes, Bruce and Martha Karsh. And what are they doing with that? Well, they've just, their alliances with the Miller Center. I'm going up to hear Mike Pompeo. We've pushed to have conservative speakers, so he's speaking tonight. But it is 97% of the professors at UVA now donate to the Democratic Party. It is such a concern. I have a daughter there. We've sent three daughters there. And the children, the students there, are scared to speak up in their classes. I lead the student liaison committee. I have student leaders that lead YAF and the CRs, College Republicans, other groups there, and they're good conservatives that get bullied. It is a nightmare what has happened, and they give tours and they disparage Thomas Jefferson. There's not one shred of true evidence that Thomas Jefferson fathered Sally Hemings' children. Between 12 or 24 Jefferson descendants could have done that, or Jefferson men could have fathered Eston Hemings, the only one of the children that of Sally Hemings that had Jefferson DNA. And Monticello says that that Thomas Jefferson had 8 children, 2 by his white wife and 6 by his black wife, Sally Hemings. Actual lies are coming out about the man that said, follow the truth wherever it may lead. And this needs to be exposed. It really does. We need debates, and they won't debate us.
Well, this business about Sally Hemings is all very intriguing. What I think is most important is that it appears UVA has been co-opted by the government. And I think that you are right. And our wholly independent experiences seem to converge in that conclusion. And it's devastating. I mean, this was a great university. As I say, when I was there, it was number one public university in America. And it's just tragic to see what's happened here to Mr. Jefferson's university.
Yes, right at the base of Monticello, their goal is to take down our Constitution. This has been very choreographed by people that look at things culturally, and they've gone for the jugular here, and they took down 4 statues, as you mentioned, but they infiltrated, and they use, as the Marxist playbook is, they use crises and chaos, and then they come in and seize power after that, and that. They constantly reference August 2017 and that the hubbub, the problems over the Lee statue, and then they're trying to melt that down into ingots, and they really want the Jefferson statue, and the same artist that did the Arlington Monument to Reconciliation also did the Thomas Jefferson statue, Moses Ezekiel, and in the Battle of Newmarket, Thomas Jefferson's great-nephew was one of the 10 young men who died, and he died in the arms of his friend Moses Ezekiel. It is, and Edward Ayers knows all this history, and he is part of this effort to besmirch. And if you tell a half truth or you hold back information, that's a way of lying, and that's happening everywhere.
Yeah, of course. Lies of omission versus lies of commission. And, you know, this special pleading, citing only the evidence favorable to your side while ignoring the rest, every one of us as a human being has our failings. And if you were to focus on our failings, you could always come up with some justification to make a complaint. The point is, these are magnificent human beings, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, who contributed so much to the good. We've even had a school right here in Madison, Wisconsin, named after James Madison, that changed its name because Madison owned some slaves. Well, that was the common practice of the day. And they were being treated in a highly humane fashion. I mean, there's no justification here whatsoever. And he put up the name, you know, a new name of some very obscure black figure that's supposed to be promoting the ideals of the nation. And it's disgraceful.
It's disgraceful. And that's what Karl Marx said, ruthlessly criticize everything. So they use words like ordnance, like a hand grenade, into the conversation. And that those are bad faith actors, though. They are not acting in good faith. And character, we are only, as John Adams said, our nation is only designed for a moral and religious people. It's inadequate for any other. And at that point, the religion meant Christianity, which meant You did not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's why people put their hand on the Bible, which people, all kinds of other faith traditions do not have that. They'll put their hand on the Bible, no problem, and lie about it in order to get into office or into a judgeship paid by George Soros. And we have to vet our candidates and our people, our school board members, everybody so much more carefully. You've got to know. The founders wanted us to know who we sent to Washington. They didn't want a large federal government. They wanted you to know probably the grandparents of who represented you. And so we've got to go back to county seats, to the state being important, to individual human beings and the character in their hearts, like George Washington, where you had a conscience. And we have to raise our children to have a conscience. That's the primary role of a parent. Or
yes.
Our free republic is not going to make it.
Yes, yes. Here we have a tweet from Marjorie Taylor Greene. We are funding 57,000 Ukrainian first responders, all, while we have a shortage of Border Patrol agent, police, firefighters, and nurses in America. We have less than 19,000 Border Patrol agents, but are funding 57,000 first responders in Ukraine. No money for Ukraine.
Oh, no money for Ukraine. What you just announced about the Hillary Clinton, you know, the Clinton Foundation earlier before I got on.
Yeah.
And Haiti. This is incredible. We have got to say no. So I hope the government does shut down. I hope the Freedom Caucus holds tough. We have grifters that are just like drunken sailors taking our hard-earned tax money and throwing it at this corrupt government. And they're all kinds of bad things that are happening over there. And Zelensky's an actor, I think. I've seen, of course.
He's a puppet. Great. He's a total puppet. And as corrupt as you get.
And our own president.
Hold that thought. We'll continue our conversation with Ann McClain after this break. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to have as my special feature guest today Ann McLean from Defending Arlington, where they're trying to transform important statuary there. And I want you to pick up wherever you like. I was citing Marjorie Taylor Greene's tweet about how we're funding 57,000 Ukrainian first responders while we only have 19,000 Border Patrol agents flooding the country with illegals. This is all so disgraceful, but it's certainly part and parcel of cultural Marxism if you want to take down a country where even, it turns out, back in 2015, Joe Biden was talking about flooding the country so whites would become a minority and saying that's our strength. How outrageous and insulting is that?
I know. It's replacement. You know, it's an idea of replacing the population. This is a strategy. And people have been plotting behind the scenes. And then they want to make it seem like, oh, you're so stupid if you think of a conspiracy theory. You know, that little meme that goes, oh, you know. A conspiracy theory is so dumb. Well, Marxism is that's what it is. It's one big behind-the-scenes network of plotting what to do to get power, power and more power. And you see victims of communism, and the kids in the schools don't even know that hundreds of millions of people were killed by Stalin. My daughter went through UVA's whole history program without one mention of what happened under Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot. And it's just a disgrace what's happened to history and the library. And we have to know our story. Right, go ahead.
And you may find this amusing. I am in that most horrible category of being a Holocaust denier, just as I'm a 9/11 skeptic. Just as I've done a huge amount of research on Sandy Hook and exposed it was a false flag. I've even been sued over it, gone all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, I recently, you know, mentioned about how Anthony Fauci is guilty of the greatest mass murder of history for more deaths than all of our foreign enemies combined, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, and someone commented, hey, how can you deny the Holocaust but say that Hitler was a mass murderer? I mean, what kind of ignorance is that? Have they never heard of World War II?
Truly.
I mean, for God's sake, the Russians lost, I don't know, 12 to 16 million Russians in World War II because of the Nazis fighting the Third Reich. I mean, just because 6 million Jews weren't put to death in gas chambers, because there weren't any gas chambers, they were work camps, where the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping copious document record, very detailed, about the age, the sex, the ethnicity, the religion, and the cause of death of inmates of all the camps, and in 1993 recalibrated the total, discovering 296,081 had died altogether from all causes combined, none of whom were put to death in a gas chamber. They were using Zyklon B to kill body lice because it was spreading typhus and dysentery in the camps for the reason they wanted to maintain the health of the inmates. You can't get work out of a corpse. And the history here is so shoddy and political. But that UVA should be a participant is just shocking and disappointing to me in the extreme.
Yes, it is. And so we need to do something about it. We need people that have follow through, that will understand this is our time. There's another revolution happening now. It's different. But we've got to fight for the same principles of 1776. And we have to really, you know, follow the truth wherever it may lead. And I hope that the people that are listening to you will get, you know, important books like The Devil and Karl Marx or The Naked Communist, or even right now, Andy Ngo's Unmasked. He's a brave reporter out in Portland that got beaten up. We have a whole army of Antifa that's connected with the Democratic Party, and they're canceling voices. And that is wrong.
And you know that the chief of police of Seattle has said the police can no longer protect the citizens of Seattle?
Yeah, it just seems to be getting worse and worse, Jim. And we, you know, people need to stop eating their hamburgers and getting their nails done and just going about with a normalcy bias. There's no giant remote control here. It's not a television show. It's real life, and our children are at stake. And the next generation is very important. I founded a classical Christian school. Well, God founded it through me. We've got to take care on the local level of our children and of the truth and of stories. And do not buy the lie that is being foisted on us. And we're being anesthetized through the media, through our toys and our video games and our iPhones. And they're tracking us. It is not funny. We've got to get back to what we know to be good and true and beautiful and fight for that. And if they take this monument down in our national cemetery, do you know what that means? Imagine what that could mean for the Judeo-Christian built environment in every cemetery across our nation. If they don't like the cross, well, they obviously don't love Jesus. Jesus said, the world will hate you because they hated me first. They do not love God. They think they're God. The people that want to destroy statues, destroy primary sources, destroy the records of truth. And if they take this major monument down in Arlington, that will be a precedent-setting event. And you don't think it can happen, but we've already seen a lot of things that we never thought would happen in the United States. So call the senators and congressmen at 202-224-3121. Get someone on the phone, even a staffer. Make a friend of a young staffer and say, it is absolutely disgraceful to take down a headstone of a Jewish sculptor that marks the ultimate sacrifice from all these soldiers. And this is a beautiful, it should be the first thing on the tour at Arlington, not totally avoided by the trolley that you pay $35 to get on and it doesn't even take you there. You have to get off at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and find your way over to even see it. So, I mean, we've got to stand up and get some courage. The word courage has the French word for heart at the base of it. The root word is cœur, heart. Where are the hearts of America anymore?
Well, and as you know, I mentioned in passing that I published a series of articles by Patricia Safran about taking down these statues of Civil War heroes. I mentioned, too, of course, it was part of the reconciliation between the North and the South. I believe what's happened here is the Marxists, the cultural Marxists, have diagnosed American society, and they believe the major fault line is racial, and they're going to do everything they can to exacerbate tension between black and white. And, I say, my God, we elected a black guy president of the United States not once but twice. Some of our greatest heroes culturally are blacks, actors. Look at Morgan Freeman or Denzel Washington or Will Smith, you know. And look at the athletes we idolize. I mean, the NBA, the NFL are dominated by blacks. I mean, it happens to be a genetic as well as cultural difference that blacks are better athletically just as whites are better intellectually. That's just the way evolution has played out. But it does not mean any of us are of greater or lesser moral worth. And that's very much what the Constitution is all about. When it declares all men are created equal, it doesn't mean equal in physical or mental ability. It means equal in moral worth.
Exactly. I believe it's equal in the eyes of God. We are all created by, we are created beings. We didn't, you know, evolution, there's adaptation, but I believe we are created, and there's just very sound evidence for that, which is also suppressed. There are facts that have never changed over 5,000 years. There are lots of things, there are lots of flaws that even Darwin said, if one part of his theory were proven false, the whole thing falls apart. And yes, already parts of his theory have been proven false, and I would direct your listeners to the work of Dr. Stephen Meyer, Darwin's Dilemma, and The Signature and the Cell are two great books that he's written. But you see, we have a problem with people just loving money more than principle. And we are bribable now, I'm afraid, in the United States. And that is, I think of Joe Biden as Joe Bribin. In my own mind, that's my word for him. That if we love money more than God, we can't serve two masters. And if we are bribable, and George Soros can take apart our country by offering money and monetary compensation for lawlessness, and he throws the whole justice system off, and we don't have equal justice under the law. Lady Justice has a blind eye, a patch, a pirate's patch on her eye. And that is wrong. There's a lot of theories pumped out by the psychological profession. It's psychobabble. You know, people, you should not show favoritism to one group over another. You should have blind, you know, the blindness under the law. And no matter who you are, if you break the law, the smash and grabbers should not get away with that. You don't say stealing is okay if you steal under $900 worth. That is poor parenting, actually. That is a lie. And that's the kind of nonsense, absolute madness that happens.
And it breeds disrespect for the law and increases crime across the board. I mean,
absolutely,
it's happening in all the Democrat cities where they're getting rid of cash bail, and where they're decriminalizing these crimes like shoplifting. By the way, I mentioned Patricia for more than one reason. She has not only authored these splendid articles about taking down statues that makes the government on a par with the Taliban when they took out those wonderful Buddha statues, you know, of thousands of years of age. I mean, just monstrous acts. But because she also recommended having you come on the show with me today, and if we're lucky, I think she may be here now. Patricia, are you here? I was hoping she would join. If she is.
Oh,
yeah.
That would be a delight. No one should destroy something that they themselves could not create, I believe. It's just cosmically wrong, you know? And if you could not make it yourself, I don't think they should destroy it anyway, but you should nobody could probably draw a stick figure, the people that are taking these things down. It takes years to become a fine artist and to study anatomy. The equestrian statue of Robert E. Lee that's in the sewage treatment plant here in Richmond now, that just shows the kind of evil that we've dealing with here. Mayor LeVar Stoney, LeVar Stoney wants to become president, or he has ambitions, political ambitions, and what he did here in Richmond was lawless, completely illegal, and reprehensible.
Yes, keep. Well, give us more, Ann, while I see if I can turn up Patricia.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then there's Matthew Fontaine-Maury, who basically we have him to thank for inventing the submarine. He was the pathfinder of the sea. He tracked all the underground warm, you know, the Gulf Stream, all the underground currents in the ocean. And he helped the War of Southern Independence, which, of course, has been labeled other things, and it was just terrible conflict we had. But they've taken all of his – he was a scientist before we had computers, before we had – this man was brilliant, and he loved God, and he tracked fish and bats and all kinds of wildlife and the kind of mental, cerebral excellence that he had. And we had this amazing boulevard here of talent, and it was supposed to lift the bystanders. As you walk down Monument Avenue, you were supposed to contemplate the courage and cavalry skill of Jeb Stuart, or the mental accomplishments of Matthew Fontaine-Maury, or the, you know, bravery and love of all people that Robert E. Lee had, and the love of truth. He said, I will, you know, you should not lie, cheat, nor steal, nor tolerate anyone who would. His character. These people were supposed to make our citizenry here in Virginia, or anyone who visited, supposed to lift it and elevate it to something higher and better. And this has been mislabeled as white supremacy. This isn't about white, black, or anything else, according to the epidermis. How much melanin you have in your skin? No, not at all. It's just so frustrating. Jesus Christ was not about skin color or race or ethnicity. It's a quality of the human spirit. It's a quality of the heart. And I have many black friends who didn't want these statues down, that they're disgusted by it, and they help on defend Arlington. But those voices are cut off. And that's what we have to worry about. It is like the Taliban. And we need to wake up and call out these jokers, these clown shows that are taking over the University of Virginia, that are quashing other forms of dialogue, the mainstream media is poisoned. And you find people, perfectly fine, normal people that only listen to CNN, and their eyes are blinded, that their ears are, they can't hear the truth now because they've just been brainwashed.
Yes, yes, yes. I couldn't agree more. Patty, if you're there, please do join the conversation. Patricia.
Hello, Jim. Ann.
Yes, excellent, Patty. Excellent. I've been having a wonderful conversation with Ann. But you've done so much great work in this area. I wanted you to have the chance to chime in. Give us your thoughts.
Sure. I just wanted to add on to what Ann was discussing with Monument Avenue. Every single district in Richmond voted to keep those statues up. And LeVar Stoney and the city council and the governor was in on it, too. Behind closed doors, they're the ones who decided to take everything down. And they went against every single district. And the original plan, it's in the commission report, was to extend the avenue with a modern statuary that might have a theme of slavery or something else. But the plan was to keep all the statues up, and it was just like we've seen all around the country. It's the politicians and the officials bringing down statues against it. Even the polls show that the over 51% of the country wants the Confederate statues standing. So nobody, it's much more of a majority that want them up. And the politicians, as you're discussing with cultural Marxism, they're going with that agenda. They're taking things down. And we just had a commission in New York, and the Saroshi Batterjee, that's her name. She's in charge of the New York Design Commission. She was just written up in the various newspapers. She doesn't like the 2,500 pieces of art in New York, and she doesn't like Columbus. There's a lot of support to keep Columbus up because that was a public subscription that it was done by. It was paid for by people who were working people, and the La Prensa and the local papers, they're the ones who put up that statue. And meanwhile, that was one of the ones she attacked in the press. And they don't want a George Washington up. There's a gorgeous 1856 statue in Union Square, and the one also at Federal Hall, which is much later, commemorating when he took his oath of office. But they're not just attacking history, but they're using that thought that slavery, of course, according to modern terminology, it's bad. But in the time when those men lived, it was not, as Anne pointed out. And you have to use cultural relativism, and they're not doing it at all. So anyhow.
That's so good that you know that. And everyone, it's really an attack on the American Renaissance, too. And the American founders, I mean, we built into our founding document the seeds for abolishing slavery, if you really want to know the truth. Jefferson and Madison and the founders, they should be thanked, not obliterated. This is iconoclasm of the most egregious form, and this is global communism. And just as you noted, well, there's a book by Alexander Adams from England about, it's called Iconoclasm, which is a power shift. And you need to get that book. It's Identity Politics and the Erasure of History. The title is called Iconoclasm. I'm sure you've read it or you know about it. But this is happening all over. And they take down Lincoln. They take down Junipero Serra out in the West in San Francisco. And, you know, this is an absolute demonic destruction of truth and of the appreciation that human beings have had for, you know, the people. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and we better watch out because it's coming.
Yeah, I just really have to scratch my head because I can't understand Elizabeth Warren and these people in D.C. Why do they want a world with no art, which is what they're looking for, and that's what they're getting?
Right. She's the genesis of this Congressional Naming Commission, which is eight individuals who might look different on the outside, but they were ideologically all aligned in.
Exactly.
And they had two years that without any the advisory group over Arlington was disbanded from 20 to 22. So this group took 2 years and $6 million, and they researched 1,111 items throughout the South. They have cataloged, and it's something just as petty and dumb as a horse at Fort Benning that needed to be dug up. And they dug up Traveler at W&L too, which was, took the plaque off of Traveler's grave at Washington and Lee. And you know,
that was recent.
It's hideous. And there's one congressman, Austin Smith, who is still there. He is still in Congress, the only representative of this 8-person group, which included Tyson Dooley, who is bent against Lee, but they obviously have a different playbook. This is global communism. This is Marxism. This is, we're going to say, ruthlessly criticize everything about the South, but they hate the South because, as Jim said earlier, the Southern soldier loved their land and would fight harder. And a lot of our armed forces, I think maybe even 40%, came from the Southern states. This is about attacking our military. It's about bringing down the United States. You know you're in trouble when they take the name John Wayne off of the airport out in Arizona. They want us to be effete and weak. They don't like cowboys and Indians. They don't like George Rogers Clark. They don't like anyone who has exerted themselves for any principle. That's what they hate, because they want us to own nothing and be happy. And they
There's also a problem with the statues, is that so many that they're taking down are equestrian statues. And the whole history of this country is horses and burros. I mean, they did everything. And
Secretariat. My family helped do Secretariat, raise him he was the best athlete ever produced in the United States. And I don't understand why the most beautiful equestrian statue in North America and arguably in the world is in the sewer here in Richmond. So if anybody wants to help donate, go to www.thevirginiacouncil.org. and donate. We are going to get those statues up and restore them.
Stand by. 540-352-4452. Call in for Ann and Patricia. We await your call.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia.
at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. What happened?
Jim, you there?
This is Reese. Is this Ann or Patricia?
Patricia.
And Ann.
Okay, Jim was bringing me into the program because I'm right up your lady's alley when it comes to this topic. I have quite a background, and it started years ago when I listened to the great pastor. Remember D. James Kennedy? When he used to speak on these subjects?
Yeah.
Oh, I miss him. And who is this? Is that a Patricia or Ann?
That's Patricia.
Because there's two voices. I can't really tell one from the other.
Reese, I apologize that I was muted when I was introducing you, saying we are unable to connect for the regular callers, but I was able to bring you in. So, Reese, do continue. Yes, we have Ann and Patricia here, both. Yes.
I'll just give a brief introduction. I have at least 15 years research into these subjects, not only the Christian Foundation of America and the occult networks that penetrated America shortly after it was founded, but particularly gained ground in the late 19th century to the earliest 20th century. But I also have a background in other related matters. I'll just give you, before we go into our conversation, for instance, the Trinity decision of 1892, Thomas Jefferson, the supposed deist or agnostic, who, by the way, while he was in charge of the schools in his home state of Virginia, the only two books that were mandated were the Bible and Watts' Hymnal. That's what the agnostic mandated. You know, we've been sold nonsense. Can
thank
I give you ladies
thank you,
one?
Thank you. Oh, that's so good you know that. Jefferson told his godson, he gave 10 words of advice. One of them was adore God. He told his godson that, Thomas Jefferson Smith. I'm so glad you know that it was the Bible and Watts' Hymnal. They've lied about Jefferson ad nauseum. He also designed a church in Charlottesville, the basement of Christ Church. You can go in there and you can. They're just lying about him.
Now, let me mention another fact, because this is a big one. And it's one that virtually every listener on alternative media is parroting this lie that we were sold that goes back to the time of Samuel Morse. You know, this is in the early to mid-19th century. Now, let's see if anyone has heard this quote before. Let me make sure I give it to you correctly. This is attributed to Marquis de Lafayette, the, you know, French ambassador, intellectual, statesman that had visited America in the early days because he was so impressed with the Republic. And Samuel Morse promoted a lie that he was fed, in which he was challenged in a debate by a Catholic theologian, a very well-informed one, named, it's been a while since I went into this one, Archbishop Spalding of Kentucky. Now, the quote, you're going to know when I read it. Ready? Let's see if anybody's heard this one before. It is, in my opinion, that if this country, the United States of America, the liberties are destroyed, it will be subtly by the Roman Catholic Jesuit priests, for they are most crafty and dangerous enemies to a civil and religious liberty, and they have instigated most of the wars of Europe. That was attributed to Marquis de Lafayette in a supposed meeting that he had in Boston with General George Washington. Now, Jim, we don't have the time. Another day, I would like to dissect this because I spent quite a bit of time getting the historical documents, the letters that were exchanged. Yeah. But I'm going to give you the skinny of it.
Reese, I want you to focus on the statues and the cultural Marxism sweeping the country under the Democrat administration of this crime family.
Okay. Yes. And this is what most listeners, even on alt media, don't get. And I know you ladies do. What's going on here is not just a Marxist overthrow, but one of you ladies made mention to The Devil and Karl Marx, that book that I'm very familiar with.
Yes, that was me, Anne. I've got it all underlined. Paul Kengor has done us a big favor in that book. Everyone needs to read
it. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did a broadcast of my own several years back. I used to have a little broadcast I did on Saturday nights out of Boston, and I did a deep dive into that subject on Karl Marx. Most of the public does not know, including academia, that 95% of Karl Marx's books were never published. They were kept hidden, sealed, I believe, in a vault in a library in Russia, because those writings would have revealed that Karl Marx, Moses Mordecai Hess Levy was his real name, was in fact a practicing Satanist, a high priest of Satanism, and this is confirmed in letter correspondences with both his wife and his son. Are you ladies of, you must be familiar with that. All right.
I'm familiar
with Jim.
But
I'm directing this
to
Jim.
It's news. Reese, this is news to me, but I'm glad we have Ann and Patricia here to share your thoughts. Continue.
Ladies, I would like to, because most of the audience here does not know these facts. They do not know, for instance, that Karl Marx's daughters, I believe both of them committed suicide, and he was referred to by his son as my sweet Satan in letter correspondences. I could go further. There's quite a bit more information I have, but it's not really what the topic here is today. The reason I'm bringing this up is that we don't know. Our history has been hidden from us. These agents of the New World Order have made it a prime objective that you will not learn the true nature of Karl Marx, because once you know that, you'll find out, for instance, that Karl Marx was funded by Rothschild. Does anyone know about that, about the writing of...
I do.
All right.
Yes, I do.
In London.
And the Rothschilds, and actually Karl Marx wrote a poem, "Thus Heaven I Forfeited, I Know It Full Well, My Soul Once True to God Is Chosen for Hell," in 1837. He wrote a poem called "The Pale Maiden." All of that is documented, and it's a dangerous, dangerous philosophy.
Yes. Jim, I want to address this to you because we need to understand that this war we're fighting against is a spiritual war. When you realize that Karl Marx had written about his hatred of God, matter of fact, he said, hatred of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, Jim, when you were in the universities, they would never tell you this because they wanted you to believe that Karl Marx was an atheist that was coming up with some kind of a new system to challenge capitalism. But that wasn't the case at all. He was a Satanist that was funded by the Rothschilds, and I go back as well to study the origins of the Rothschilds, which come from the Sabbatean movement, which its origins go back to the Satanic Messiah of 1666, which basically was a false messiah, and that was Sabbatai Zevi, and he was followed about a century later by his understudy, which was Jacob Frank. And Jacob Frank, after being booted out of Poland, went back to Germany and started collaborating with Meyer Amschel Rothschild and Adam Weishaupt. And they formulated a program of world takeover, of the destruction of the Christian monarchies of Europe, the destruction of the education system, the destruction of Christian youth, the corruption of every sort of morals and artwork. And the list goes on. That later became the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, are their plan summarized in 24 protocols. You ladies, I'm sure, are familiar with that.
Well, I do know some about that, and I just wish Congress understood, and a lot of the boards of universities understood, how can we get – this is true what you're saying – I mean, they don't know. It's been suppressed, and memes have been floated, and there just doesn't seem to be the moral
right.
fiber to dig down to the truth.
No,
and there's
also not the courage, because when you speak, when you step on the third rail and you mention the protocols or a collaboration that took place in 1776 between what I call the unholy trinity, you are attacked on all fronts. You would probably be expelled from your university if you attempted to bring it up. Now, Jim, I could provide proof that this conspiracy exists. And I'm going to give you just one bullet point because we don't have time to go into a treatise today on this subject. John Robison, the preeminent professor in Scotland, he was approached by agents of this unholy trinity, which was headed, of course, by Rothschild, and he writes extensively about this in the book that I have at home, A Conspiracy to Overthrow the Governments, the Christian Governments and Monarchies of Europe, and he wrote about it in his 1898 book, which is about an inch thick in great detail. He was approached by these men because they were seeking out, even at that time, around the time of the American Revolution, they were looking for people to join this conspiratorial group, and he turned them down. Robison turned them down, but I believe others had opened the door. Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies, I know Jim is probably not going to accept this, but I know it based on well over 15 years of research into this subject, that these men, on May 1st, 1776, entered into a pact with the invisible realm. Let's call it, the leader of that realm was Lucifer. Now, I'm not speculating. I could quote them on this, that they were being guided by the invisible spirit realm. So I believe what happened was they – yes, Jim?
No, Reese, I'm gonna offer a rebuttal. Just go ahead. Lay out your case.
All right. Let me finish. Let me just finish my statement. That
excuse me. 1776, I have to say, too, you're getting very far afield from the topic, which is the sculpture.
Yes, but I'm ending
down.
It here. This is, I'm bringing it to a close here, because what I'm doing is I'm providing a foundation for what is happening in our world today. This is a very important foundation to understand that this was a plan that was hatched 245 years ago that was specifically to overthrow all nations, including America. We're the last nation that stands in its way. All the other nations were taken over with the European Union that was completed in 2010. So that's the reason I'm going down this, because the listeners out there might be saying, well, what is he talking about? How could he possibly make a connection between the revolution that is going on right now in America to put Trump in prison and to overthrow our republic with this conspiracy in 1776?
That is, you got to admit, Reese, a bit of a stretch, right? Now, listen.
Well, not when you know the facts. Not with you.
Reese.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Look, when you talk about facts, those are things you take to be true. but others have different views about what they take to be true. I'm looking at a review, for example, of this book that was Karl Marx's Satanist, published in 1976. And while there are several that are favorable, one emphatically asserts Marx was an atheist Jew. He neither believed in the Christian concept of Satan nor the LaVey concept of Satan. The author offers no evidence confusing mere hostility toward religion with Satanism and offering some syntax-related conspiracy theories. Now, I agree that Karl Marx said he believed that religion was the opiate of the masses. Karl Marx was a statistician. He was a social scientist. He was studying the role of, you know, unions in exploitation of workers in England, proposing that there was going to be a consolidation of wealth and power at the top that would finally lead to a violent revolution of the poor and impoverished workers at the end. I mean, that was his classic theory of history. And then when the revolution took place, we'd have the temporary transition to the rule of the a small group that was supposed to be temporary before turning into a egalitarian communist nation. Now, what I think is so important here is that the Democrat Party today seems to want to bring about chaos in society to turn to an egalitarian communist nation. I think that's what's going on here. I wonder whether you would agree with that conclusion or not, whether or not we agree on the interpretation of Karl Marx and whether or not he were a Satanist, because I find that rather much of a stretch. Personally, I'm telling you my sincere opinion, though obviously I'm open to discussion and debate. But what about the point I'm making about contemporary Democratic Party wanting to bring chaos to the nation so they can rebuild it as an egalitarian communist society?
With them at the top.
All right, here's my rebuttal. Here's not my rebuttal. Here's my response. Number one, Jim, and we don't have time to go into it, I would enjoy a debate with you on this subject at another time, and I am well qualified for it, but we're not going to do it now.
Reese, just answer the question. Don't give us all the prolegomena. Get to the heart of the issue.
Here's the heart of the issue, Jim. You have failed to address why Karl Marx, 95% of his books were kept sealed, just like Barry Sotoro's college records, from the public, Jim. You have not answered why Karl Marx made up the famous maxim.
That's because it's got no relevance to the question we're asking. I'm saying, is it true or not that the present Democrat Party wants to destroy America, bring it to a state of chaos so it can be rebuilt as an egalitarian communist society? That is my question to you.
Okay, Jim, let me answer that. I didn't understand clearly. I thought you were challenging the statements I made on Karl Marx. But let's move on. Let's move on to that subject. Here's what's going on.
No, I think you're exactly right, Jim.
All right,
go ahead.
So here's what's going on.
Go ahead.
Here's what's going on. The Democratic Party, whether it's the party itself or the people being used, the useful idiots like Barry Sotoro, they do not know who is really at the top. They are taking orders, they are following orders, and yes, they are trying to dismantle the Republic. Is anyone here familiar with the writings of William Wirt, who was in the FDR administration?
Reese, you're really driving me up the wall methodologically. I don't care about the archive of other Marx books. I don't care if Marx...
No, I'm not talking about that, Jim. Jim,
Reese, Jim, don't talk over...
Jim,
don't
please.
Talk... over me, Reese. Don't talk
but
over
you're operating
me.
On a false premise. You're operating on a false premise. You didn't hear what I was saying.
I
what
heard
I was
what
saying
you were
was,
saying. I was asking you a different question. Reese, stop. I want to get Ann and Patricia in here. Ann, your thoughts.
All right, I started to respond. Go ahead.
Just be quiet, yes. Reese.
Jim, thank
go
you
ahead,
so
Ann.
Much. You have to have a little sense of humor, and I totally agree with you, Jim, that that is what is happening here. The chaos theory, the Cloward and Piven overwhelming people. You know, you have to understand your audience, too, Reese. I believe you have great knowledge there, but it has to be palatable, and people have to understand for the moment what is really going on with the statue destruction, with Antifa, with the funding, with in the halls of power and in these blue cities across our nation. To me, the time is now to really wake up and understand there is collaboration, and we are having our entire justice system taken down in front of our eyes, and I couldn't agree more with Jim and what he said.
Yeah, Marx predicted after the violent revolution, you know, when the social tension became so great, we'd have a temporary dictatorship of the proletariat. That's Animal Farm. You know, some animals are more equal than others. That's going to be the leaders of the Democrat Party. What's it going to be? Oprah Winfrey, George Soros, the dictatorship of the proletariat. I mean, it's just disgusting what they have in mind. The problem being they're very good at destruction. They're no good at construction. They're not going to do any good for America. They're only going to damage it massively. Patty, I'd like you to get in with a few words edgewise.
Yes, I agree with you and Ann. And the problem is, I have to use the word of the people at the top. They're actually stupid. They don't really have a vision, as you're saying, Jim. They don't know how to organize anything so that there's a society that's in any way viable after the destruction that they're performing right now. They have no vision for the future.
I agree.
Yeah,
Patty.
I think it's all destructive. Yeah, go ahead, Ann.
Yes.
Oh, that's all right. I was just going to underline her comment three times.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Reese. I'm going to come to you. Ann, did you finish?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Reese.
Okay.
But he is pointed.
Yes, I want.
Ann. Yeah.
Yes, I am. The only reason I made reference to William Wirt in the 1930s. Was because William Wirt had been present in the White House, and he overheard the discussion taking place where they said, this is in the White House with FDR, that we are going to dismantle this republic built upon Washington and Jefferson brick by brick. That was in the 1930s,
Reese,
so that's why I made that reference.
Reese, let me tell you, what people over here, who the hell knows what was said? FDR was committed to creating a social supportive state. I believe, as I've said many times, in the benefits that are provided to Americans by Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. I do not see that as inconsistent with the ideals of Washington, Jefferson, Madison. I don't see it that way. These are the programs that have benefited the American people. And they're consistent and compatible with capitalism. It's like a kinder, gentler version where those who are in difficult straits are provided benefits by the state. But I'd be very suspicious of a theory built on what's supposed to be an overheard conversation.
Well, Jim, that overheard conversation happened to be by a superintendent of schools that was present at that meeting. So you're trying to dismiss this, and I'm sorry to say, Jim, I think you've quaffed the cup of Marxism yourself.
Reese, that's great. That's great, Reese. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I'm just making a statement.
Please, we can get you on the air.
Jim, you keep defending Marxism. You're defending Marxism repeatedly in this conversation.
No, I'm not, Reese. I'm explaining what Marx was doing as a social scientist. I'm not defending Marxism. That's ridiculous.
You're not attacking it. Marx, you're certainly not attacking it.
Reese, enough. I have a moment left only for Ann and for Patricia for final thoughts. Ann, yours. Patricia, if you're here and Ann's not, your final thoughts.
I'm here. Yes, everyone should call the phone number for Congress tell the Congress, your Congress people and others to support keeping the Ezekiel Memorial where it is, because it's I sent you a note on this, Jim. It's totally illegal to put a crane in the circle of graveyards that surround the statue, and that if the army does that, they're actually guilty of breaking the law.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you and Ann here. I think we lost Ann there. And yeah. Reese, I'm glad to have your alternative position, but it's we just have disagreements about aspects of this. Patty, I just want to compliment you on the wonderful articles you've done about the statues and encourage everyone to go to jameshfetzer.org to follow up. Patricia Saffron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N, you'll find about.
A-N.
I think we must have 5 or 6, Patty. Is that not right?
Yes. Yes, correct.
And say a few words about Charlottesville, because it was so ridiculous, and Ann would be adding further concerns about the role of UVA. When I explained what was going on, they showed not the least interest in getting the facts straight.
Oh, you mean about taking the Lee statue and trying to melt it down?
Yeah, right.
Well, that again, the community board meetings showed there was no consensus whatsoever about removing the statues, and meanwhile, the mayor and the city council, which is only, I think, 4 or 5 people there, it's quite small, they went against the public. And this has been happening all over the country. But meanwhile, the Jefferson School Museum is now claiming ownership and that they have the right to melt it down. It was removed in one piece by Devon Henry Construction Company, and they were very responsible because they thought it was going to L.A. for an exhibition along with the Jackson statue. But meanwhile, the Jackson statue did go to L.A., and it's in storage waiting for the exhibit. But the Jefferson School immediately started taking apart that statue. It had nothing to do with Devon Henry, he told me.
Yes.
And that statue is now in a court case. Hello?
Ann, I can't thank you enough, but Ann, for being here.
Okay, bye, Jim.
Bye.
Can't hear you now.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global...